Another common way that we get attacked spiritually is when Satan will take something that God gives us clearly as our protection, and we follow and allow him to lessen this as a problem. We take certain things and water down the definition so that we don't take it as serious as we need to. One of those things is a topic called hypocrisy. Now, we think of hypocrisy and we may frown upon it for the most part, but we don't realize how dangerous it is. It's definitely one of those hidden things that we have to make sure, being Christians, that we're not truly being hypocrites and that we are not following or listening to hypocrites. Hypocrisy is something that is deep inside the body right now, and it's something that we have to recognize and eliminate and definitely avoid. The name of this order my steps is hypocrisy. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypokrates, and it says an actor under an assumed character, a stage player. If you've ever seen those pictures of the two masks when you go to a play or not, that's what that is. It means I'm putting on a display or a disguise as if I'm someone else. Now, it's basically saying a Christian is basically saying they're something when they are not. Now, how do I recognize this? See, a hypocrite will be recognized by distorted purposes. Because remember, a Christian is recognized by their purposes, as it says in Galatians 6. So we got to make sure we recognize a person's purpose. Let's see two examples of where a hypocrite can come off based on their purposes. We see it in their good deeds. Matthew 6, verse 2 says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets," watch this, "as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." So in other words, their purpose when they give to the needy is for others to see them and to praise them and to applaud them. And you'll watch these people because they want to make sure they get credit, and that will be their purpose. In fact, they'll go out of their way to give and make sure that the light shines on them. They'll even give off this false humility where they'll go, "Oh, well, you know, it was nothing." And they might even say the glory to God. But for the most part, their true purpose was to get that gratification of, "Look at what I did for you." We even see it in their prayers. It says in Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, "When you pray," watch this, "do not be like the hypocrites." Why? It says, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be what? Seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." You have some of the most eloquent speakers and people that know how to say the right words, and they can put some statements together that really sound good, but their purpose is to really sound good, to give off the perception of holiness to those who are weak and naive and will follow somebody by sight and not by faith. In other words, they like to look the part instead of being the part. We see this a lot in Matthew 23, where Matthew 23 goes through the woes and he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, which were known as hypocrites, and all those religious leaders that put on the show of being holy, but they truly were not holy. In Matthew 23, verse 25, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He's making it clear what they are. And anytime you're on the other side of a woe, that is a dangerous place to be. We're going to see why it's dangerous later in this study. But he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why? For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." Now, it's funny that he uses the things you eat off of, and you clean the outside of it, which is not what you're eating from. It's from the inside. And that can contaminate you. This is the thing that's bad. In fact, if anything, you want to clean the inside. But he's saying that's what we represent, or what hypocrites represent. They represent that visual, so you'll see, especially for those Christians who are walking by emotion, by intellect, by a culture. In other words, those who are walking by sight. They're looking, and when it looks like it's religious, "Oh, then you must be holy." And this is why we have a lot of Christians following these people today. We also see in Matthew 23 and 27 through 28, he says, "Woe to you," once again, "scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He says, "For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear," do you catch this? But inside, they are full of dead man's bones and uncleanliness. And then he makes it very clear in verse 28, so you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Once again, the thing that really represents you is on the inside. And a Christian won't see this if we don't look for the things that God tells us to look for. If I base Christianity off of my structure of Christianity, I'm going to praise and applaud these people who are truly showing hypocrisy. We're going to talk about that. So let's recognize hypocrisy and hypocrites. We need to recognize who they are so we're not cheering them on and so that we are not them ourselves. It says hypocrites can see worldly signs clearly, but tend to miss the true message of God. It says in Luke 12, 54 through 56, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Now, that's a learned thing that people have to grow up and that you pay attention. You get to know about the things around you. We tend to know the signs of the weather, how people are acting, how things are going on, all this stuff that we learn from the flesh. But watch what he says in verse 56. He says, hypocrites. Now, because the thing that is life and by far the most important things to us, they're clueless to. He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, the things we see by the flesh. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? In other words, the things of God. God gives us in his word what the things are, what they really are. When we're walking by faith, not by sight, we truly see what the times are representing, what's truly going on around us. But you'll watch them and they'll interpret what we may call sight-wise reality, but they'll miss the true message that God gives. Another sign is hypocrite sees righteousness only based on how they see it, not on what God says. This is one of the tools why you'll hear me constantly say, and the Bible directs us this way, make sure what they give you is soundly supported by the Bible. Luke 13, 15 through 16, this is the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Now, right now, they're getting ready to beat up Jesus. They're giving him a hard time because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. And they're saying, but wait a minute, you do this basic work on a Sabbath for the stuff that you have that you think is okay, but I did something that was good, and you look at that as a sin. He shows in verse 16, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? And I think I said man earlier, but it's a woman. And if you notice, he's giving something even much stronger. He was like, you do these basic forms of work because you think they're necessary, and I'm doing this miraculous thing of work, which you're calling a sin. Now, it's common practice. It's something, once again, that hypocrites tend to follow. They pick and choose, and they tend to only see it and call it righteous when it's there. Now, the way you'll know this group is you'll go to them, and even though it clearly says something wrong in the Bible, they'll tell you it's okay, just go ahead and ignore it. And we follow them. There's a danger in following them. We'll talk about that. We also see signs of hypocrites. They will pick and choose what they will obey from God. Matthew 23, verse 23 says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Once again, we see that woe to you thing again. And like I told you, it's a very dangerous thing that if we don't pay attention to, it'll get past us if we're on the other end of it. But he says, hypocrites. Why? For you tithe mint and deal in coming. In other words, you do all the tithing you're supposed to. That's great. Well, watch this. And have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. But the things that really mean a lot, you're not. In fact, you're ignoring them. He's like justice and mercy and faithfulness. So those things do not come from you, but you're doing all these other signs that you think make you look good. He says, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. So here's a big part, and I need you to pay close attention because this is a common one. They'll pick certain things to fit their agenda that are in line with God, and they'll passionately support those. That's great, but that's where it stops. There will be other things that God wants you to support, and they'll ignore those. In fact, sometimes they'll go against those. And if you notice, he calls them hypocrites. He's not applauding them going, well, at least they're really supporting this side. See, I watch these Christians and they'll say some things and they'll passionately support and they'll go after some of these things. And that's great. And the things they're saying is true. But then I watch these same Christians bash, ignore, or you'll hear nothing from them on the other things that the Bible supports. That means they're hypocrites. See, if you are supporting God, you're supporting all of God, not just a piece of him. Please don't fall into that mode where at least they're doing something. Because that something is dangerous. Either you're doing all or you're doing none. Major problem. And it's a very common problem that happens over and over again. Hypocrites see other people's issues without recognizing their own. There are a lot of Christians out there that can truly help other Christians because the stuff they're saying is true. Here's the problem. They'll say something, and as I said earlier, you know, we usually see a hypocrite as somebody that says something but doesn't do it themselves. So they'll say the right thing, but because of them, of what they are, the person doesn't hear them, and in fact, it turns the person away. I mean, he breaks this down for us very nicely in how we're supposed to deal with others. He says in Matthew 7:1-5, he says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Now, this doesn't just stop at not judging. He's letting you know, you judge, you're going to be judged. So be very careful. And he goes into, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the same way means the pattern you follow, the foundation you stand on. And then he says, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the thing you're using that to measure this other person is what's going to be measured on you. So then he asks a basic question. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? So there is a problem the way your brother sees things. And you see that. That's great. He said, but why do you see that and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And I noticed how he put a speck and a plank to show you got this huge problem that you're dealing with, but you're quick to see what the smaller problem that they're dealing with. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And then he hits you. You hypocrite. He says, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, some people read this and they think all I have to say is, yeah, I know I have problems too, and then they just lean in on yours. That doesn't work. See, you have to understand, this is a lifestyle. This isn't just you saying you know it. This is something where they're going to see a change in you. Here's the thing. Those who really get this, they are compassionate when they're helping others because they recognize I'm no different than that person. They're helping others, not criticizing others, not bashing others, not forcing answers on others. You catch this? They're, what can I do to help others? First, they got to see I need help too. That's a person that gets, hey, I got some problems. You have some problems. Maybe through God, we can help these problems. But the hypocrites only see others' problems, and their lives show otherwise. Major problem. A last sign that we see of hypocrites is they don't truly worship God. That's the problem, but worship in their own beliefs and traditions. Now, once again, for those Christians who are walking emotionally, traditionally, culturally, ignorantly, intellectually, using all these other leads instead of spiritually, just because they go to church and they follow certain patterns, and you'll see them doing stuff that we have followed as tradition and not things we follow spiritually. In fact, there are more people who are more dedicated to dressing up going to church than they are truly following the spiritual things of what it means to go to church. Think about that. I can show you some strong things that the Bible says that we have to do when we go to church, and you see the same group looking sharp, have no idea what to do in church. He shows us in Matthew 15:3-9, Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? Think about that. There's certain things we will do in church based on what we're normal or what we are used to doing or what our community does or so on and so forth, but going against what the word says. It says, for God says, and he shows an example here, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Okay? He says, but you say, you notice how he started off saying, God says this clearly, but you came around and you said that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you watch this, nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. We still do that today. How we read our word, we do it our way instead of his way. How we raise our children, we do it his way, not our way. Those who preach in the pulpit are put up there based on what we see, not what he said. How we're getting married today, how relationships are, how we deal with sexuality are based on what we feel, not what he says. He hits it in verse 7, you hypocrites. Once again, we hit that nerve of us doing things based on us instead of him. But it'll still add God to the name. We'll still go, I'm doing this, and we'll say in God's name while we're really not doing it in God's name. He says, you hypocrites, and this is where he hits us. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He said, this is coming. He shows we're in this time, and watch what he says. These people honor me with their lips, will say the right things, sound the right way. He says, but their hearts are far from me. Basically, he says in verse 9, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Some of the things you hear some of these religious leaders saying for us to do, all you got to do is check your Bible and go, wait, I don't have to do that. Sometimes they'll pay more attention to and actually treat more sacred our constitution, the way we are to our country, than how we are to our neighbor. The Bible even gives us a second command, how I have to love my neighbor. He's very clear on that. But you'll see us bypass that. But man, we're hard on what my rights are and what I'm allowed to do. It's disturbing. It's hypocritical. So now, as a young Christian, old Christian, whatever, if I am a Christian, I'm setting myself up. But if I'm a Christian listening to a hypocrite, then I'm setting myself up. Here's the warning. Teachings of hypocrites are extremely dangerous. So this is why I have to know who these people are. Because if I don't see their fruit and I still listen to them and take in what they're saying, I'm in danger. Look what he says in Luke 12, verse 1. This is a warning. Once again, God gives us this warning. It's for all of us when he says, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousand had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to first speak to his disciples saying, watch this closely, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. Now, yeast represents sin, so the sin of Pharisees. What is their sin? And he says, which is hypocrisy. Y'all catch that? Hypocrisy, which comes from the Greek word hypokrasis, which means acting under an insincere part. Figuratively, deceit and concealment. In other words, they're really not being sincere. We're going to talk about that. Remember that word, okay? Because some of you may hear the sincerity and may even feel like, well, I'm being sincere. Are you? And we'll understand that soon, but just keep going. So it's showing they under deceit. In other words, they're really not telling you the truth and they hide things. The deal is they'll take part of the word to support their agenda. So what's the foundation? Their agenda. These are the groups that can write books and use the Bible to support their doctrine. And then you get people with itching ears who like their doctrine, who will follow their doctrine. But all of these are on the wrong foundation, which is not Christ. See, if you understand, the foundation is Christ that we are supposed to follow, and then the Bible shows us that foundation. Everything's built upon that foundation. Not me coming up with some agenda or some title or something like that, and then trying to throw scripture at it to support it. That's very dangerous. And here's the biggest danger of it all. If I'm following the hypocrite, I'll become a hypocrite, and there is an ending for hypocrites. It shows in God's word that living as a hypocrite is a path to hell and leads others to hell. Pay close attention. Matthew 23:13-15. It says, but woe to you. Once again, that woe again. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now look what he says about them. Because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves. He's already letting them know, because you're hypocrites, you do not enter yourself. You're already headed to hell. And now you want to minister to other people to keep them from going to heaven. He was like, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. So you have those that are already going in the right path and really trying. And what do? You mismanage them. See, there are some people who are naively sincere. Remember that word, sincere. But in their naivety, because they're still leaning upon their emotions, their sight, their intellect, please pay close attention. They'll follow these people because they'll feel intimidated. They'll feel confused. Please cut it out. I'm one of the most confused fleshly people. You can confuse me easily, but when my eyes stay on focus, you can't confuse me because my answer always comes back down to, you got to clearly show me this in the Bible. Unless you show me in the Bible, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? What you're saying sounds intellectual, sounds great. Man, I love how you speak it. Show me it completely in God's word. And then it goes nowhere. He was like, you stop others from entering it. He says in verse 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, because you devour widows' houses for a pretense, you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. You see what he's saying here? He's putting there once again that this group, they'll use people up, especially people who are in need, in order to make themselves look better. They take their money, they treat them bad, they mislead them, and they do all of this, letting them know that not only are they going to hell, but they're going to some of the worst parts of hell. He says, you will receive the greater condemnations because you devour widows' houses for the pretense. For a pretense, you make long prayers. In other words, you do stuff to make people, man, this person's so holy. And unfortunately, we got some that are naive and they follow that. Verse 15 goes, and woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, once again, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourself are. That's something else. In other words, you go out and try to transfer or convert somebody into what you call a Christian, and he becomes less of a Christian or double a person headed to hell as you are. They end up following you and your teachings, not the teachings of God. And you have some of them, man. They look for those people that will follow them. They want nothing to do with that person that sticks with it is written. They want to look at that person and tell me more. You got people that will follow people to this day because of how it sounds, because they hit a nerve, all this other stuff. And not, I need you to give me sound doctrine. He makes it clear in Matthew 24, verse 51, he will cut him to pieces and assign him, watch this, a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know what else you're ever taught, but that is referring to hell. Every time the Bible refers to that, it's talking about hell. The hypocrites are going to hell. You must not follow, and you must not be a hypocrite. Hypocrite is what all Christians are to rid themselves from. Hypocrisy is what all Christians are supposed to rid themselves from. 1 Peter 2. 1-3 makes that clear. It says, therefore, rid yourselves. In other words, this should be gone. It should not be something we're acting under. Of all malice and all deceit, and watch this, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. In that group of things that we're supposed to totally get out of what we are, malice is treating things bad and just doing things for a bad reason, for a mean reason, just to be mean. I did it because I was angry. I just felt like doing it. Deceit, where we're doing things with a lie. Basically, deception in a way that we're misleading them. And hypocrisy is what we just went over. This whole clear thing in which I'm doing partial God for my agenda. The purpose is not God. Envy is when I'm doing things based on what the other person has. Why do they get to have better? So I'm only doing it to get better than them. Slander, when I'm saying something for the purpose to hurt others and in no way to help others of every kind. He makes very clear, watch this, like newborn babies. And this is what Christians have to start from. If you have these, when you first become a Christian, you got to rid yourself of that. And this is where some of us already failed because we haven't done this first part. I got to get rid of something and then I'm born again. And then like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. I'm going to point your eyes to something here. He tells us to crave. Now, this is going to lead into something. He's telling us to do something that we're used to having being done for us. Usually when one of our nerves are hit, you either smell something, see something, hear something, so on and so forth, and then you crave. Have you ever smelled something saying, I can go for some apple pie? You see something, man, or it's sunny outside or a beautiful picture, man, I can't wait till I go on vacation or until summertime. Or for those who like snow, I love it, love the snow, I can't wait to go skiing or do whatever you get ready to do. You allow something to trigger a craving. See, that's the wrong kind of craving. He's showing that you have control over this type of craving, he's telling us to crave pure spiritual milk. That's something that I have to go. I need the word in its purest form. He was like, crave it. That means I'm just wanting to hear somebody preach the word. I don't want somebody to excite me with their words, with their stories, with all this other stuff. Just give me the word and soundly. He was like, so when I crave it, he says, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. A lot of us are not maturing and we're becoming hypocrites because we have not matured. If I can keep a child immature, right? I don't care how old they get, they will always be a child. We see that in the physical form today. We see them still acting like kids. They didn't put away childish things. But he made clear, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, he says, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That is powerful, right? Crave that pure spiritual milk so it you may grow up in your salvation. That's what we should be striving for. So as you notice, a hypocrite, that is something that if you keep walking blindly and not following it in the reverence that God has given us, you can end up being a hypocrite, following hypocrites, and ending up on the other end. And you might think you meant well. You might even thought you were being sincere in your walk. Now pay close attention to this. To avoid all forms of hypocrisy, all Christians must be genuine and sincere, here it is, in the Lord. Everything that God gives us to do, the way you know it's real, it'll be in Him. How the world does it, it'll be in us. From the beginning, if you notice, Satan always redirected it back to them. You know, when God said, do not eat the fruit off the tree, Satan said to Eve, well, what do you think? Why don't you look at it? And then she saw. See how that works? In the same way today, we clearly see what the Bible says, but then we look up and go, oh, what do I think? And it disturbs me when I hear people go, well, I can't see God doing what this word said. So then we distort it, or we find somebody that gives us another answer, and that sounds great, instead of doing exactly what the word is telling us. See, true sincerity is in God only. And I'll read it first, and I'll explain. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, now this is our boast. Our consciences testify that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationship with you, watch this, in holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. Very important. Very, very important. Because if sincerity according to worldly wisdom is it'll be the me factor, okay? Worldly wisdom is sincerity is how I feel. I know a lot of people either have left Christianity or not following Christianity because of how they feel. I'm not feeling it at the moment. And when I really feel like I'm doing it, then I'll be a Christian. That's what we say. We bring on this intense feeling, and it has to be from within us. I've heard people say, I can't forgive others because I'm not meaning it. They make it all about them. You see how confusing sincerity sounds? Here's the real definition. Sincerity will even go against how you feel. God says love, you love, and you do it with every ounce of you, despite how you feel. In fact, you will get around those people that you don't like, and you'll love them to death. It'll make no sense. Why? You're fully trusting in God. You're showing God that you're sincere in Him. You're being holy and you're being sincere in Him, not in you. It's not about how strong you feel about it. It's how strong He puts it. That's why I'm saying sincerity is from God, not according to worldly wisdom. Pay close attention to that, because you have some that are still going off of how they feel. We do something that I feel so strong about. And this is what disturbs me when I see some of these people when they're passionate about certain things. But then you see that same person, when it comes to things of God, either there's nothing from them, or sometimes they even go against them. Disturbing. Very, very disturbing. We become sincere by complete obedience to God. We're going through a thing in Bible study called pure, and this kind of really breaks down how we are to become pure. And this is one of the verses in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brother. Key words here. You have purified yourself. How? By obeying the truth. Y'all get that? So by obeying the truth, you obey the truth, it purifies you. Right? And that's what our job is, to first get what it says, understand it in Him, and then do it. When we do that, we are purifying ourselves. And in that, we have what's called sincere love for our brothers. What that means is, if He tells me to love my enemies, to love my brother and sister, has nothing to do with what you did to me. There are some Christians that are reacting to people based on what they did to them, how they feel about them, what they see in them. We're very cold to some. We treat some a certain way, or we love them incorrectly. You understand that? Okay, but He tells us, so that you have sincere love for your brother. Love one another deeply from the heart. Let's not take this topic of hypocrisy lightly. Let us make sure we are not ourselves being hypocrites. Let us walk in true sincerity in God. And let us rid ourselves from all hypocrisy and hypocrites. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, we thank You for Your word of protection. Help us to stay in that word and stop applying our own, which puts us in danger. Help us stop looking at the way the world does things and completely keep our eyes locked in and focused on You. We thank You so much for Your mercy and for Your grace and the time You take out for us, that we may have the protection and the guidance we need in love. We ask for continual guidance for the entire body. Dear Lord, help us to have patience and do the things we need to in order to guide one another in the path You would have us to go. Can't thank You enough, dear Lord, for all the love You continue to show us and all these blessings we ask in Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.